All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday, June 3rd meeting of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Karen Ray Russum.
Here.
Director Cassie D.
Here.
Director Shirley Gibson.
Here.
And would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, does anyone have any reason to reorder the agenda this evening? All right, then we'll proceed as published and go straight to public comments for items not appearing on tonight's agenda. If you would like to speak on items not on tonight's agenda, was that for me?
Oh.
If you'd like to speak on items not on tonight's agenda, you know the drill. Mr. Varney, come on up. Please keep your comments to 3 minutes or less and address the board as one body.
Got it. Okay. I think, you know, rarely have I ever received a call saying from a state agency, in this case the Coastal Conservancy, that, you know, we have some money and we're looking at Oceano and we're looking for some good ways to spend it. And they're interested in projects. Right now, the topics that I'm focused on are policy, by and large. But I know you have projects, a lot of them, and coming up. And so I just really wanted to kind of put an exclamation point on, I think that this is a really great opportunity. I hope that you'll be able to take advantage of it. I really don't have any details about kind of like what they're looking for. But definitely in the relatively brief conversation I had, it doesn't have to be like we're doing brick and mortar. It's like we're planning for brick and mortar. We're doing public engagement and outreach for a large project coming up. And I think that, you know, it would behoove you to connect up with them and parse that out a bit. Tim Duff, who's a project manager that I was in contact with, I can't remember when I didn't send you what he said to me. He said, so let's talk again, but before we talk, send me the pre-application filled out. So, you know, that's kind of where they're at. I went to the desalination presentation that County Water did in Grover Beach, you know, a few weeks ago, and had a chance to talk with county folks. We talked a little bit about the sanitation district planning mandate, and the county, two people from the county, I don't remember their names, long-term employees, made it very clear, goes, we have nothing to do with sanitation district and what's going on there. You know, the $300 million, that's all on you folks down there, you know, in the three communities. So I think that there's some opportunity to do stuff that could be used down the line if in fact the project moves forward, and, you know, demonstrating that we're looking for ways that the district is aggressive and committed to finding ways to get grant funds to offset potential impacts to rates and stuff like that. It's be great public relations. I think also there could be money for a position for somebody in charge of the whole public engagement, outreach, social media, contact kind of things that would ultimately, of course, have to be done. It's a little premature now. The timing may not be right, but I hope you go for it. Thanks.
All right, seeing no one else in chambers, we'll close public comment. We'll move on to item five, the consent agenda. This is item 5A through 5D. So first I'll ask if anyone has any questions or needing to take one separately. Do you have any questions? Any questions?
No.
I missed in the staff report, but see it in the title that this will be Jackman 2. So I love that. Okay, so we'll open up public comment, and seeing no one here, we'll close public comment, and I'll entertain a motion if someone would like to make one.
I'll move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
We have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Cassie D.
Yes.
Director Karen Ray Russin.
Yes.
Director Shirley Gibson.
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right. Next one is item 6A. This is a public hearing to consider entering into energy service contract pursuant to GC 4217.
Good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. Yes, the item before you was intended to be a public hearing to consider entering into an energy service contract pursuant to Government Code 4217. We are recommending continuing this hearing to July 1st at our regular board meeting in Oceano. So the district noticed a public hearing in accordance with California Government Code 4217. Staff had intended to present to the board and the public the framework of terms and conditions of an energy services agreement with Southland Industries to deliver a turnkey cogen system. This system would utilize wasted biogas to generate power and heat to offset the majority of the treatment plant's energy needs. District legal counsel has undertaken a review of this agreement, and this project represents the district's first design build project that we've ever done. And so we've never negotiated the terms and conditions of a design build project, and so the legal review is more protracted, and it's taken us a little longer to get through that. So we intend to return it on July 1st with an agreement that's in a presentable form. It'll still be draft at that point. But at this, we made the call last week that the current status of the agreement wasn't presentable to the board. So with that concludes my staff report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Questions? Opening public comment, and seeing no one rushing in from the street, we'll close public comment. And it requires a motion to do this, right? Yeah, okay. Then I'll go ahead and move that we continue the item to be heard on a date certain of July 1st.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Item 6B is, sorry, it got really small when I fast forwarded. 2026-27 fiscal year budget and set the public hearing for July 1st, 2026.
Good evening. The item before you is our draft 26-27 fiscal year budget, and we need to set a public hearing for July 1st. So those are the two. We'll review the draft budget and set the public hearing. So I'll kick it off and then turn it over to Ms. Simpson. There are a couple of things I'll note before we get started. We've included the cogeneration project, the budget that would be necessary for the 26-27 fiscal year if we were to move forward with that. It's tentative in the sense that we haven't approved that, your board hasn't approved that project yet, but we are requesting the funding. If we decide not to move forward with that project, we'll remove that line item from the budget. So with that, I'll turn it over to Ms. Simpson, and she can present the basics of the budget.
Good evening, ladies of the board. This is your fiscal year 26-27 draft budget. Tonight's recommendation is that the board provide input regarding the proposed fiscal year budget and set a noticed hearing for July 1, 2026 at 6 p.m. in the OCSD boardroom at 1655 Front Street. This will be our regular board meeting. For the fiscal year 26-27 budget, our revenues are expected at $16,735,345. For service charges and fees, we expect to bring in $6,744,000. Connection fees, $75,000. Interest, $409,000. Use of reserves, $9,407,345,000. And brine revenue, $100,000. Total operating expenditures is expected to be $4,917,345. Operating expenditures consist of these multiple accounts. We have salaries and wages, employee benefits and other personnel costs, permits, fees, and licenses, communications and computer support, administrative costs, legal costs, engineering, coastal hazards and monitoring, our LAFCO budget share, our Zone 1, 1A agreement, our agency billing, disposal services, utilities, maintenance, tools and replacements, materials, services and supplies, training, education and membership, and our SCADA system. Administrative costs, we increased it by 1% this year to $349,150. In this category, we have computer support, advertising, legal and recruitment, insurance liability, professional service electrician, public outreach, auditing, our maintenance agreements, our board member service, our human resources, chemical analysis, records management, AGP video, fiscal services, and strategic planning. Maintenance, tools, and replacements increased to $447,000 this budget. It's a 24% increase. Regular equipment maintenance, we expect to spend $250,000. In automotive maintenance, $7,000. Structure maintenance, $40,000. Trunk sewer maintenance, $50,000. And our ocean outfall inspection, $100,000. Materials, services, and supplies, we budgeted $732,000. This is a decrease of 11% from last year. This category includes safety supplies, employee uniforms, gas and oil, lab supplies, plant chemicals, temporary labor service, equipment rental, administrative building supplies, office supplies and expenses, office equipment, computers, GIS. Our staffing this year, we are budgeting 11 full-time positions. We have one administrator, one business and accounting analyst, one plant superintendent, one plant super operations supervisor, a plant senior operator, a laboratory director, which is currently vacant, a laboratory technician, and four plant operator twos. Other charges is the debt service that we expect to pay on our debt at $1,230,000. Capital Outlay Expansion Fund 20, this is where we put the cogeneration project, which we may or may not need to budget. The cogeneration is a tentative project being considered by the district. If approved later during fiscal year 26-27, the district will evaluate taking on debt to fund or partially fund the project. Our proposed Fund 26 capital projects. This year we would like to replace the Amiod filters, have a condition assessment, a digester number one cleaning and rehab, a new lawnmower, operator carts, a primary sludge pump number three, trunk sewer cleaning inspection, and two work vehicles. Michael, would you like to talk about the
Yeah, good evening, ladies of the board. Michael Jones, plant superintendent. In our PowerPoint presentation and in the staff report, just provided some Fund 26 project descriptions, and just wanted to briefly provide those descriptions to your board. So with this first project, we have the Amiod filter replacement. The existing system has reached the end of its useful service life and requires replacement. Replacement of the system will help ensure the continued reliability and performance of reclaimed water operations. Reclaimed water is used throughout the plant for various processes. This item is carried over from the adopted 25-26 fiscal year budget. Due to a long lead time in receiving this equipment, staff is carrying over this budgeted item into the 26-27 fiscal year budget. The estimated cost includes equipment purchase, installation, and associated electrical and mechanical modifications as required. This next project is the condition assessment. Staff developed a robust condition assessment project, which incorporates the FFR rehab planning and structural inspections included in the 25-26 fiscal year budget. This effort, which is carrying over to the 26-27 fiscal year budget, will provide a systematic evaluation of the structural, mechanical, electrical, and process condition of treatment facilities, identify near-term deficiencies and vulnerabilities, and quantify the short, mid, and long-term capital investments required to maintain the plant at its current location. Importantly, the plan would distinguish between investments necessary to sustain existing infrastructure versus those that would extend the useful life of the plant in a regulatory and environmentally constrained setting. The resulting planning document would serve as a critical decision-making tool for the district, enabling an informed comparison between costs, risks, and regulatory constraints associated with continued operation at our existing site and the potential cost and benefits of relocating the treatment facility. It would also position the district to respond proactively to the upcoming CDP reevaluation milestones by providing clear, defensible documentation of infrastructure needs, long-term risks, and strategic options. Proposals were received on May 20th with a notice to proceed expected July or August this year following board approval. This next project is our digester number one cleaning and rehab. It's a 10-year routine scheduled maintenance of our digester number one. This project consists of draining and cleaning of the entire digester and associated appurtenances, thorough inspection once empty, and any repairs and rehabilitation necessary following inspection. Over time, non-digestible heavy solids accumulate inside the digester, reducing the usable volume for beneficial bacteria and lowering treatment efficiency. If left unaddressed, this accumulation can cause mechanical damage to mixers, lead to odor issues, and reduce vital treatment capacity to meet regulatory requirements. Regular cleaning and rehabilitation prevent unexpected failures and help the district's facility comply with its permit requirements. This next item is for a new lawnmower. The existing lawnmower has reached the end of its useful service life and requires replacement. Replacement of the lawnmower will ensure the continued maintenance and landscaping of the treatment facility grounds. The next item is for an operator cart. The existing utility cart has reached the end of its useful service life and is no longer reliable for daily operations. Replacing the cart is necessary to support the efficient transport of tools, equipment, and materials throughout the treatment plant, helping staff perform maintenance and operational tasks safely and effectively. This next item is for trunk sewer cleaning and inspection. A trunk sewer cleaning and inspection project is to document the condition of the district's trunk sewer system. This project includes the cleaning of the entire district trunk sewer system, closed circuit television inspection of the entire trunk sewer system, evaluate and grade sewer condition using an approved coding system to document conditions, defects, manual inspections, and record using an approved coding system to document the conditions and defects and any additional services that would supplement the cleaning and condition assessment objectives. The final inspection report will be evaluated to develop an updated capital improvement plan with recommended prioritization, budgetary cost, and schedule. The next item, we have two work vehicles. This budget item provides for the replacement of two utility work vehicles that have reached the end of their useful service life and are experiencing increasing maintenance and repair costs. The new vehicles will support daily operations by transporting personnel, tools, equipment, and materials, improving reliability, safety, and operational efficiency while reducing downtime and long-term fleet maintenance expenses. And this final item is for a primary sludge pump, a new primary sludge pump. The existing sludge pump has reached the end of its useful service life and requires replacement. The new sludge pump will support efficient transfer and processing of sludge, helping maintain regulatory compliance, operational efficiency, and system reliability while reducing the risk of equipment failure, service disruptions, and ongoing maintenance costs. The estimated cost includes equipment purchase, installation, and associated electrical and mechanical modifications as required. And that concludes my description of the 26 projects, and I'll move it over, or I'll send it over to Amy to conclude.
This was your draft budget for fiscal year 26-27. The total revenue expected from the services that we provide is $7,328,000. The reserves we plan to use will be $9,407,000, and our total funding is $16,735,000. Our total expense is also $16,735,345 if we do the cogen project, and this is a balanced budget. In conclusion, the draft budget emphasizes maintenance and operation of the existing plant, maintenance and repairs to the trunk sewer system, pursuing cogeneration energy savings, cleaning of our number one digester cleaning, and inspecting 9 miles of district trunk mains and conducting a plant-wide condition assessment. This is your consolidated budget. You can see the operating costs separated from the expansion cost, which is where the cogen is. And then the Fund 26 replacement projects are also in their own column. And that concludes my report.
All right, any questions?
Yeah, I have
one question about it. Okay, sorry. About the cogeneration project, it may or may not be done. Is that if we can afford it, or
it's not a matter of affordability. It's just the way I've presented it, like that, Director Gibson, is because the board hasn't taken final action to say whether or not to move forward with the project. But we have adequate funding, so we're programming that money. So that our that we have
right.
the money available, but
okay.
at next month and then at another subsequent meeting, we'll be making these decisions on whether or not to proceed with that project. You know, it's a large investment for the district, and
right.
so that's why I've characterized it like that, because it is something we do need to consider and continue to have discussions on, and it's not a mandatory project like most of our business usually is. Usually
right.
we're being mandated to install some upgrade.
Okay, thank you.
Questions?
Yes, so how much is in our reserves?
It is noted in the staff report, it's $13,500,066.
Okay, sorry, I just totally passed right over
okay.
that. Okay, so if we do this cogen project, we would be taking on debt instead of using our reserves, or?
Yeah, so in the budget right now, since we have not signed up for that debt, we
right.
can't show that as coming in, and so we've shown this as coming out of the reserves. So when we have the discussion about taking on debt for the cogeneration project, we'll get into depth on how the debt will actually be paid from the energy savings, right? Like, and that's been described by Southland when they were here.
Yes.
And so when our electricity bills go down, that will provide the revenue, adequate revenue to pay the debt service for the cogeneration system. So it'll be a wash once we move forward. Now, the reason why I'm considering this at all is we are cash heavy right now with 13. We have full cash reserves. We've finished the redundancy project in a good spot, and we're able to recapture several million dollars during redundancy by not spending it. And so what we need to consider is whether we should pay higher interest debt. So if we take on debt for the cogeneration project, we would possibly be borrowing at 5 or 6%, and we could actually look and, or if we pulled money out of reserves and self-funded it, we could potentially save money. And so we'll have that analysis, and I'll present that at a future meeting for your board to consider on when we're taking on debt and moving forward with the project.
And I apologize, it is in the first sentence. I think I went right over that number. I went to the other number, so I apologize for that. Okay, thank you. Those are my questions.
Thanks. I have questions about what we have here. So I think I know where the problem lies, but where it says total revenues up in the upper right, bold, 16,735,345, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the bottom right corner, it's the same number, except for that number doesn't add up. It should be 19,473,345. So there is an extra $2,738,000. So what I think happened is under other financing, the 2738,000 got added in twice, because that's the exact amount it's off. So it's added under capital outlay, and it's also added in under other financing, which makes the number at the bottom not 16,735,345.
So, and correct me, Amy, but I think we're in agreement that the correct number is 16,735. But if you add that column, the 2.73 would be double counted if we actually summed that column as presented. Right? Is that what you're?
Yes, but then that also relates to, we didn't do that the same way with the capital outlay for Fund 20. It doesn't say Fund 20, but it says capital equipment. For the cogen project, that's not balanced out somewhere in the other two columns, like the 2738,000.
We'll correct and clarify at the July meeting. You're right.
Okay, and then I had another question about. I think I know the answer, but this is for the public on the use of reserves. The reason we're cash heavy is because we collected a whole lot of money before we were finished, and so we're still spending that money, but that's all going to balance out in the end.
Correct.
Right. And then can you go backwards to your slide of maintenance tools and replacements? That one. No, wait. Maybe the one before that? Nope. Go one more forward.
Oh, maybe I went past it.
One.
Maintenance tools.
Go one more. Nope, go back two. Sorry.
Ha! No,
it's that one. Okay, at the 447,000. Why is it plus 24%? Is that just because we're doing, what has changed there? That's a significant uptick.
So there's a couple reasons. We have been deferring some of these type of maintenance during the construction of the redundancy project, and so as we're getting back to these more routine maintenance, we're programming more funding. The ocean outfall inspection that 100,000 is a one-off. Additionally, like we have not assessed the condition of that outfall. We inspect it every 3 years, and we share that cost with PISMO, and we. Michael actually asked me if he should write about this in the ocean outfall inspection. That 100,000, we don't think we'll spend all that, because we'll share those costs with PISMO. We haven't had these conversations with them, but by contract, they're responsible for half the costs. Now, we're wanting to do this for our own knowledge, so I don't know, but we'll have those discussions.
Okay, thank you. That was really helpful. I didn't see that percentage in the staff report. So when I saw it up there during the report, that caused me to go, whoa. And Amy, just, I don't know if apology is the right word, but I didn't catch the math error until we were literally just sitting here. I certainly would have told Mr. Gent ahead of time so you could have provided us a supplemental. I just didn't catch it till we were sitting here. I get in the zone and then the things all, you know. Okay. Then let's go ahead and open up public comment, and seeing no one here, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board. And remember that we have two requested actions tonight. Would someone like to make a motion?
Sorry, I clicked the wrong thing. I move that we set a notice public hearing for July 1st, 2026, and we have provided some clarifying comments for the budget, and I move that motion.
We have a motion, a second. Could we get a roll call, please?
Director Cassidy?
Yes.
Director Karen Ray Russom?
Yes.
Director Shirley Gibson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
May I make a quick comment that I meant to make? Sure. I just wanted to say that I really loved this presentation. I think it was presented lovely. It looks very pretty and aesthetically pleasing, because sometimes when you're going over these numbers, they can get quite mundane and boring. And so I just appreciate all the pretty colors and making it a little bit more fun. So thank you so much.
That's all Amy.
Yeah.
It's because we gave her a raise. All right, that takes us to item 6C, request approval to purchase flow and level monitoring equipment.
Good evening, ladies of the board. Michael Jones, plant superintendent. The item before your board today is to request approval to purchase flow and level monitoring equipment. Staff's recommendation is that the board of directors approve and authorize the district administrator to purchase new flow and level monitoring equipment in the amount of $31,746. Some background: in April 2026, the district completed a trunk sewer capacity study to evaluate the ability of the district's trunk sewer collection system to accommodate existing and future wastewater flows over a 20-year planning horizon. The study evaluated systems, the system capacity constraints, inflow and infiltration, and the overall condition of the collection infrastructure. The study also identified future collection system needs, recommended required upgrades, and developed a capital improvement plan for implementation over the planning horizon. As part of the study, updated flow monitoring was conducted because the district's previous flow monitoring study was completed nearly 15 years ago. The updated monitoring effort was used to estimate current flow conditions for each member agency, validate hydraulic model assumptions, establish peaking factors, and identify areas potentially impacted by INI during wet weather conditions. Three separate monitoring sessions were conducted to establish baseline dry weather flows, capture peak seasonal dry weather flows, and evaluate wet weather conditions. Peak hour flow represents the highest 1 hour wastewater flow to the district's wastewater treatment plant and is used to evaluate the system's ability to accommodate short duration peak flows without pipeline surcharging or sanitary sewer overflows. Because the wet weather monitoring period did not capture a significant storm event, two peak scenarios were developed to evaluate a range of potential future conditions. We have peak hour flow scenario one, which established a peaking factors, based on observed flow meter data collected during the wet weather monitoring period. And then we have peak hour flow scenario two, which establishes peaking factors based on industry literature correlating service population to peak flow conditions. Under a future peak hour flow scenario two, which assumes approximately a 17% population growth and a total system flow of 5,491 gallons per minute, multiple pipeline segments were projected to exceed the district's design criterion of 75% depth over diameter ratio. The D over D ratio is used to evaluate the fullness of a pipeline. For example, a D over D ratio of 50% indicates a pipe is half full, while 100% indicates completely full pipe. Elevated D over D ratios may indicate flow restrictions or insufficient pipe capacity during peak flow conditions. Insufficient capacity can result in backwater conditions and increase the potential for sanitary sewer flows. It's just important to note, no deficiencies were identified under average daily flow conditions or existing peak hour flow conditions. Capacity concerns were limited to the future peak hour flow scenario. Moving on to discussion. Based on the findings and the recommendations of the capacity study, staff recommends purchasing new trunk sewer flow and level monitoring equipment in the amount of $31,746. The proposed equipment consists of six permanent monitoring units supplied by Concibio. Staff reviewed available monitoring equipment vendors and determined Concibio best met the district's operational and compatibility needs. Three units will monitor flow, level, and velocity and will be installed in identified areas of concern. One unit will replace an existing level monitoring unit located at a low-lying manhole adjacent to an environmentally sensitive area. Two additional units will monitor groundwater levels at the wastewater treatment facility. The proposed equipment will improve the district's ability to continuously monitor system performance, collect real-time flow data, identify potential inflow and infiltration issues, and support future planning and capital improvement efforts. The equipment will also improve operational awareness during wet weather events and future peak flow conditions. Fiscal considerations, adequate funding was included in the adopted fiscal year 25-26 budget under Fund 26. Additional funding for ongoing cellular connectivity and cloud-based data services will be included in future budget cycles. And with that, that concludes my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions the board may have.
Thank you very much. Any questions to my left?
No.
Any questions to my right? I don't have any questions either. Very nice staff report. Thank you. Any questions from the public? We'll open that up, and seeing no one, we'll close that back up and bring it back to us. Any comments or desire to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve and authorize the district administrator to purchase new flow and level monitoring equipment in the amount of $31,746.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Cassidy?
Yes.
Director Karen Ray Russom?
Yes.
Director Shirley Gibson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Excellent. All right, that brings us to item 6D. This is a district administrator and plant operations report.
Good evening. I've got a brief update for your board this evening. So on the cogeneration project, I mentioned it briefly, but we're currently in contract language and legal review. So that work is ongoing. Miscellaneous items, myself and Mr. Jones met with the Public Works Director and Wastewater Chief Plant Operator for the City of Pismo Beach. This was more done as like a meet and greet type of setup. We went and had lunch in Pismo, and Rosemary's a new hire to the City of Pismo. And so we got to chat and talk about projects that we're all trying to advance, but nothing actually technical or business was really discussed. We continue to have discussions with the City of Arroyo Grande regarding the Canyon Crest neighborhood. It's a neighborhood in rural Arroyo Grande, and it's for 54 homes with the potential to add 5 additional, so it could be a total of 59. And so those negotiations, I think later this month, they're trying to get on in front of the City Council to provide, to get some feedback from the City of Arroyo Grande. And where the district is right now, where it kind of, if the City of Arroyo Grande is willing to accept them in the sense that they'll provide the billing services and make it, for us, look like a normal AG customer, the staff would be recommending that we move forward and provide treatment services. And that would involve some work with LAFCO, because we'd have to do a boundary modification to officially provide services out there. But we've been working closely to try to figure out the order of which things should happen in, and so the group is starting with the City of Arroyo Grande, and depending on the feedback that they get there, they'll be moving forward with the sanitation district. There were no plant tours, and upcoming meetings on July 1st, as we've talked about, we'll have the final budget presented. And we'll also have our hearing to consider entering into an energy services agreement with Southland Industries. And then I would anticipate by August 5th, I'll provide an update on the Canyon Crest service request. And I'll turn it over to, or I'll pause there, and I can answer any questions you might have.
Good evening, ladies of the board. Michael Jones, plant superintendent, presenting the plant operations report. During the reporting periods of April and May 2026, the district had no violations of its permit. All plant data was well within permit limitations, as shown in the tables below. Operations staff completed a multitude of operations maintenance tasks and work orders. Staff participated in annual training on annual fire extinguisher safety. We had one call out on May 1st at 2:45 a.m. for an RDT1 fault. Operations staff responded and inspected operations, reset the fault, and placed the system back in operation. And moving on to some staff photos. In this first photo, we have a City of Pismo Beach staff and operator Justin Music using a vacuum truck to uncover a water leak. In this next photo, we have Operation Supervisor Michael Arias and Operator Everardo Vargas performing some maintenance on one of our waste-activated sludge pumps. And in this final photo, we have construction contractor V. Lopez Jr. and Sons lowering a district manhole below grade as part of the County of San Luis Obispo's Pier Avenue Overlay Project. And with that, that concludes my portion of the report, and happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Any questions?
RDT stands for our rotary drum thickener. It's a thickening process. It takes waste activated sludge from our activated sludge process, spins it in a drum to try and remove some of the water, and thickens it before it gets pumped into our sludge digester. Yeah.
All right. First, let's ask if public has any comment. And seeing none, we'll bring it back to us. I have two comments. I say this once in a while, but I just love it that you put these pictures in here every time, because it makes me feel connected to the plant when I don't get out there very often. So I appreciate that. And I also didn't think of it until just now. When I became mayor in 2018 and took my seat here, we were counting days for having violations drop off our calendar and making sure that we didn't go over three. And we haven't seen one in so long, and that's just testimony to your leadership, Michael, and everybody's leadership at the plant, because it's run in I don't want to say perfect, but just a really top-notch professional service. And it's gotten better and better and better over the years. And I just realized that there's nothing on here, and I just thought, gosh, it's been so long. I just want to make sure we all get recognized for that.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. That is a receive and file. So going back up to my agenda, this takes us to our board member communications. Any communications? All right, none from me either. So that takes us to adjournment. We're adjourning at 6:41. We'll see you on July 1st.
Thanks, everybody. Got those kudos right before the July.